Chapter 1. Jasper, Alabama, August 1976. Chet Moran clicked off his headlights and backed into Judge Wilson's winding driveway, just far enough that his Ford Pinto wouldn't be visible from the road. He wanted to be facing out toward the street, ready for a quick getaway, should things come to that. He shut off the engine, got out and pushed the door quietly shut, then stood a moment in the pre-dawn darkness, staring at the Pinto. "What a piece of shit," he said. Yet he was smiling because he'd done well in the trade. Dan had really wanted his Mustang, enough to pay top dollar. Still, Chet was going to miss that car. A 65 fastback with a 302 that he'd spent the last 5 years restoring from scrap. But the car, like so much, was in the past now. He dug into his pocket and pulled out a ring, a thin gold wedding band. There was no diamond, but it was real gold. Chet flipped a clump of auburn hair from his eyes, eyes so gray and pale as to almost be silver, and looked up the long drive toward the judge's house, hoping the ring would be enough to prove to Trish he was a changed man. He stretched and rubbed the back of his neck, trying to work the tension from his wiry frame, trying to work up enough courage to walk up that drive. At 24, he'd just finished 7 months in county jail for possession with intent to distribute. Trish had not visited him once. He started up the drive, stopped, started again, stopped again, then let out a long sigh. He'd received the letter from Trish about 3 weeks into his sentence. It was short and to the point. "Dear Chet, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have the baby. You're relieved of all responsibilities. I will always love you, but I'm all out of tries. I wish you the very best with your life. Love, Trish." He'd kept that note tucked in his pocket, reading and rereading it, but was still unsure just what she'd meant by relieved of all responsibilities. He'd written her back at least a dozen times, but hadn't received a single letter in reply. At first, he'd been angry. After all, it was his child, too. But 7 months gives a man plenty of time to think things over, to see things from more than one angle. How many times had he fucked up? Too many. That wasn't the kind of man a woman in a family way was looking for. He was going to have a child, a little boy or girl. It was a mean world out there, and sitting in that cell night after night, day after day, thinking about his child growing up without a daddy had eaten at him, to his very core. He'd left jail a different man. And if selling his beloved Mustang didn't prove that, the fact that he was here, about to walk up this drive, did. Chet sucked in a deep breath of the crisp morning air, and as the first trace of dawn warmed the sky, he once more headed up the drive, the damp pine needles muffling his long stride. A sprawling brick ranch materialized out of the gloom ahead, a few bicentennial stringers still hanging along eaves. Chet slipped up to the garage and around the side, coming to a chest-high chain-link fence. A low growl greeted him. "Easy, Rufus," Chet whispered, crouching to let the old basset hound sniff his hand through the fence. The hound gave him a doleful look and wagged its tail. Chet flipped the latch and let himself into the backyard. He squatted, patting the dog and rubbing its saggy jowls. "I tell the judge issued a restraining order against me. You heard anything about that?" Rufus's eyes seemed to say, "Nope, not me, not a thing." "I guess it's pretty easy to do when you're a judge, huh?" Chet stood up and moved on, skirting the garbage cans and a big grill, stepping through Mrs. Wilson's flower beds, careful not to trample her prized geraniums. He crept past the back porch, making his way to a set of windows at the far end of the house. He peeked in through the screen. The window was open, the shears fluttering in the light breeze. He made out the curve of a woman in the glow of the nightlight. She lay on her side, her back to him. His pulse quickened, and he almost turned around and left. But he heard his grandmother's voice, more of a feeling than any actual words, telling him to stay. This didn't surprise him. He often heard her, even though she lived hundreds of miles away. It had been his grandmother's presence comforting him on so many of those interminable nights in jail when he felt the walls falling in on him.